Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, what a sports weekend. We got a lot to cover. I have never seen New York Giant fans as pumped up as they are. We'll get to that. Is there a growing dissent between Brian Daboll and Joe Shane? We'll get to that. We'll get you set for what's an oddly important Mets game that starts in a couple of hours. The Yankees trying to bury the Baltimore Orioles. All the fallout from the NFL draft, including the dropping of Shador Sanders. But Tiki Barber is the most honorable guy at this radio station. And that's why I avoided asking him this question all day yesterday and all day today. Because everyone in this audience should trust Tiki Barber. You may not trust me. You may be skeptical of me. You certainly don't trust Loogie, but you trust Tiki Barber. Tiki?
Yes?
End of Knicks Pistons.
A foul.
Not a foul?
Not a foul.
Here's You're going with not a foul?
Here's why. Because, first of all, the contact was so minimal relative to what we had seen all game long.
Mm.
And it's not as if he jumped into Tim Hardaway Jr. He jumped his left of him, so to Tim Hardaway Jr.'s right side. And if Tim had just focused on shooting the ball, it would have been non-disrupted at all. And so because he was seeking like that contact instead of trying to shoot, I mean, the ball didn't even get close to the rim. And so to me, Tim Hardaway was the reason it looked like a foul, and not because Josh Hart actually fouled him. So to me, non-foul. And most importantly, it was congruent with what they had done all game
long. Congruent? Do you know what that means, Sean Morash? Congruent.
Together.
Yes.
Similar. Similar. So you're going not a foul.
Not a foul.
Tommy Lugauer, was it a foul or not a foul?
From my vantage point, not a foul.
And by your vantage point, you mean with your orange and blue sunglasses?
Perhaps. And also within the context of the way the series has been called so far, not a foul. Right.
Not a foul. Sean Morash, another honorable man. Foul or not a foul?
Egregious foul.
Bias.
Egregious foul.
Egregious foul.
Yeah. Egregious
a game foul. Was determined on the outcome of contact on a shot. Egregious.
Egregious. We're going egregious?
You want to say it for a fourth time? Egregious.
Can you spell egregious?
E-G. R-E-G-I-O-U-S.
I've lost count. Here's the definition.
I got it.
I think you did, actually.
I think you did.
Intellectually bankrupt.
Here's the way, and I want everyone to play this game at home, because I think this is really, really important, because this series has become a bitch fest. And I don't mean like you're a bitch. I'm not saying that. That's a very inappropriate use of the word. I'm saying complaining. It has been a bitch fest in terms of complaints.
It is so annoying, too.
I get that, of course. And it started, and I adore this man. I defended this man when he did it. But it started with Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau began the bitching a couple of games ago, and I came on the radio and said, Teek, you may not like it, but you have to do this because you're trying to get the calls. And sometimes in the NBA, opening up your mouth and whining and crying will get you the call.
And by the way, I don't mind that once. You get licensed to do it once, maybe once per team. But when it's every single game and it's just, we got screwed. They took the opportunity to win away from us. This needs to be addressed. And yada, it's like, shut up.
Yeah, but it's
just play the game.
You're right. And it's not just the players or the coaches. No. When I say that this series has been defined by it being a bitch fest, I mean everybody listening, too.
Right.
I mean everybody. Like, I'll give you a great example, because I don't want to pick on anyone individually, but I'll pick on this guy. Ben Stiller. The great Ben Stiller, who I respect as a Knicks fan. Ben Stiller is on social media in the middle of the third quarter. These refs, they're terrible. They're awful. Game ends, not a word. So what we saw from Knicks fans, from Piston fans, from J.B. Bickerstaff to Tom Thibodeau is constant bitching. Now, here's the way, as an IBO, here's the way to determine egregious or not egregious. Because with all due respect to Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer, you guys obviously have your biases.
We're compromised.
You're compromised. Here's the best way, and I want everyone in the audience to play this game. What if it was called? What would you be saying today? If they had called that foul on Josh Hart and Tim Hardaway Jr. goes to the free throw line down by one, couple of seconds left, so the Knicks would get a final shot, but let's just say it's a prayer, it doesn't go in.
They lose.
They lose. And those free throws determine the outcome of the game. Tiki Barber, what are you saying into a microphone at 2:05 on WFAN?
I'm saying Josh Hart needs to be smarter, and when you had a chance to blow this game open when you're up by 16, could have made it 30 easily. Don't miss shots, Mikal Bridges. Right? It would have been easy for this game to get way out of hand. I would have blamed it on the fact that they didn't take advantage earlier on in the game.
So you would not even be citing that call?
No.
Okay.
I would have said it's a missed, humongous missed opportunity from letting a team that was about to fold get back into it.
Tommy Lugauer, if they had blown a whistle on Josh Hart and Timmy Hardaway Jr. goes to the free throw line, he makes the free throws, Knicks don't make the prayer, and we're tied 2-2, and we turn the microphone on and say, hey, Tommy, what's on your mind? What would you be saying?
I would have said after the real egregious situation after game 3, where they literally almost handed the game to the Pistons. You cannot make that foul call in that spot the way this game, this series has been called. You cannot make that call. It was clear that Hardaway was hunting a foul. He had no interest in taking the shot. With the game on the line in a pivotal game 4, you cannot allow a whistle to determine the outcome of a playoff game.
So, Tiki, good either way, you would be bitching. You'd be joining the bitch fest. Now, Sean, you're the one guy on this panel who said it's an egregious non-call. If they make the call, your response would be, yeah, great, the officials got it right.
Yeah, and the ball wouldn't have lied. The Pistons would have made the free throws, won the game, and guess what? The Knicks would have won the series in 6, and we all forget about it, but at least we know the game was finally officiated cleanly at the end.
Wait, did you pick them in 6?
I do have a ticket, Knicks 4-2 exact series winner at plus 4.
Oh, so you're beyond compromised.
I see it. You're financially compromised as well.
I'm just being honest. I own that ticket, yes.
Here is my response. My response to all of this is, was it a foul? Yes, it was. By the letter of the law, it was absolutely a foul. There was contact between Josh Hart and Tim Hardaway Jr. But I am on the side of Tiki Barber, which is why I'm okay with what the officials decided yesterday. If they had called a foul, I don't think we'd be sitting here talking about how the officials stole it away from the New York Knicks.
Right.
I think this is a can-go-either-way kind of call, and because the game was officiated the way it was, which is rough and tumble, let them play.
Mm-hmm. By the way, something that the Pistons take pride in.
Absolutely.
Something that the Pistons say, this is what we're all about. J.B. Bickerstaff is saying, we know who the Knicks are. They're not tough.
Right.
Okay. Then when you get a ticky-tack, maybe foul, don't bitch about it, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Well, the ultimate problem that the Pistons ran into, and so let me just finish my point before I get to that. I'm with you. Like, it's one of those calls where you bitch about it when it doesn't help you. Mm. But if you take a step back, which I'm able to do and you're able to do, and these two guys on the other side can't because one guy's a fanboy and the other guy hates the Knicks more than anything, which I do respect, by the way.
And he has a ticket for 4-2 Knicks.
That's right. You get clouded by it. But the reality is, I think if they call it, I understand it. If they don't call it, I understand it. And here's the other problem for all the whining out of Detroit. If you want to go over that final possession with a fine-tooth comb, because I know the officials have already come out. The pool reporter after the game said, yeah, we got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. And a two-minute report will confirm the same thing. So they'll officially say they got it wrong. Well, guess what? What else did you get wrong? Did Josh Hart get fouled after the Cunningham miss in a loose ball foul situation? Right. The answer is yeah.
Can we do it all 48 then instead of the final 2 minutes?
Or that final possession.
Right. If that's a foul and they come out and say, you know, the game, whatever, then Albert Einstein needs to give back his Nobel Prize because relativity wouldn't exist, right? It just wouldn't be the same because relative to what happened in the rest of that game, that was not a foul.
No, and not only that, which I agree with, that final possession featured two other things that the Pistons benefited from.
Mm-hmm.
There was contact on Josh Hart after the Cunningham miss that you easily could call a loose ball foul on. And then when Tobias Harris is fighting for the loose ball, his foot's out of bounds. So if we're going to play this game, and we can, it's the beauty of the NBA, you can go over every freaking play, especially in the final 2 minutes. you can find other things about that final possession that you can say, oh, they got that one wrong.
Right, but this is what I appreciated about this game, really kind of this series, is that they're just letting them play.
I agree.
Let them play.
I appreciate that.
Me too.
It's been a rough, tough physical series, and here's to the point you were making about the Detroit Pistons and why they should be pissed off at themselves. They went into this series with the thought of, we're tougher than them.
Mm-hmm.
We're tougher than them. We can push them around. And if the Knicks play a series like that, we'll beat them. We'll get them to play our game. And guess what the New York Knicks have done? To the respect of the New York Knicks, which I really don't want to give, but I have to call it like it is. They've responded to the physicality.
Of course.
They've responded to the pushing and shoving. And the guy who has responded more than anyone else, and no, I'm not going to say Jalen Brunson, because I never quit on Jalen Brunson the way some of you loser Knicks fans did. Jalen Brunson was never to blame for game two. Not one time. So I'm not going to put Jalen Brunson over because he doesn't need to be put over. He should have never been put down to begin with. So let's put him in the corner. Let's get to the guy who really did answer the call, and that's Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Anthony Towns played like everything I said and a lot of Knicks fans said about him after game two. He responded. He didn't just respond with an incredible fadeaway shot. He didn't just respond with a near logo three. He didn't just respond with that. He responded with the toughness.
Mm-hmm.
He responded with saying to the Detroit Pistons, you want to play that kind of basketball? We can play it too, and we'll beat you anyway. And that is why, if I am a Knicks fan on Monday afternoon, I'd be freaking pumped up.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't qualify the wins. That's another thing losers do, qualifying wins. Well, you know, we've had a tough time beating the Pistons. The Pistons aren't as good as the Celtics. Who cares about the Celtics? You're not playing the Celtics yet. We'll worry about the Celtics when you get to the Celtics. Don't qualify wins. I hate when people qualify wins. I don't qualify wins.
Yeah.
If my freaking team wins a playoff game, you know what I do?
I'm
pumped up.
Of course you should
be. I don't qualify it. So Knicks fans have to stop qualifying victories. Ah, we got lucky or this or that. You beat them. And the best part is you're beating them at their game. And Cade Cunningham, who is emerging as a star in this league, he ain't there yet, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I think Cade will get there eventually.
Right.
He may pass Jalen Brunson, but not yet.
Yeah, people want to keep saying that he's the best player in this series. And while he is a great emerging player, he's not. There's too many turnovers. There's too many missed shots in critical moments. So you look at what Jalen Brunson does at the end of this game, really the fourth quarter, where he scored 15 points and was just a facilitator par excellence. Cade Cunningham can't do that in that moment. He's not there yet.
Well, think about
it. He will be, but he's not there yet.
Absolutely. Will he be there as a great player in this league? Sure, this is his first postseason. But I think back to two plays and give the Knicks defense a lot of credit for it. Cade Cunningham, after the Karl Anthony Towns long three that mm-hmm. gave the Knicks the lead, the first lead after they went down 11 yeah. in the fourth quarter of this game, ball's in Cade Cunningham's hands with 30 seconds to go. And that's when Josh Hart sneakily snuck over
mm-hmm.
and scooted the ball loose. Cade Cunningham turnover, one of seven, and it happened with 30 seconds to go in the game. And that also happened in the previous game. Remember when he faked out
right.
OG Anunoby
yes.
and the same thing happened? So Cade's a really good young player, but he's not Jalen Brunson. And then the thing with Jalen Brunson, this is where I'm going to kind of nitpick him a little bit.
Go ahead.
I don't like what he's doing to you people, you Knicks fans out there. He pretends too much with these injuries.
Oh, God. It's not a pretend.
I mean, hold on.
It can't be.
Teague, going to the locker room is one thing. Okay, probably needed to. He's got a banged up ankle.
Or knee. I don't think they ever really said what it was.
That's true. Whatever the heck it is.
It was something lower body.
So when he's rolling around on the ground with Dennis Schroeder, right? And
mm-hmm.
it looks like, oh, man, he's banged up. I'm scared. The act that he pulled of him standing up and then falling down, bro,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
Well, it's funny because I...
Come on!
After it happened, after he gets tangled up, I'm putting this in quotes,
right.
Tangled up with Dennis Schroeder, I'm like, all right, let me see this thing again. He barely gets tangled up.
Right.
Like his feet never cross. Dennis Schroeder's never like in amongst him. There's nothing that should have caused an injury unless maybe his knee hit in the court. I have no idea.
And nothing
I couldn't find the injury.
And
like,
nothing should
happened
cause
here?
Him to stand up
no.
by the scorer's table and collapse like
maybe
he got shot.
You know what? Well,
come on.
You know what? In the immediate aftermath of that, I said, he just wants a rest.
That's what I'm saying.
He just Tibbs ain't giving me 2 minutes. Let me get 2 minutes.
And I'll tell you what else he does, which is very, very smart. Vince Carter used to do this back in the day, and eventually I understood his game, so I never got concerned. My only issue with this is he scares Knick fans half to death.
Yes.
When Jalen Brunson goes down, especially when they show the clip of him getting up and collapsing like he's a horse whose leg just got shot, every Knick fan in their brains are already contemplating, are we going to fire Tibbs? Because we're going to lose this series. We're dead. We're going to fire Tibbs. I can't believe... Like, he put Knick fans through the nine stages of grief when he collapsed like
Knick
that.
Knick fans should be used to this. This is, I mean, almost literally every game.
That's why I think what we need to do from here on out, and I've got nothing but respect for Jalen Brunson. He is the king of this city. Mm-hmm. He proved it again. You want the ball in his hands in the final few minutes. He is as tough as they come. He is as gritty as they come. He's as clutch as they come. So don't get twisted. I got nothing but respect for the game of Jalen Brunson.
Right.
But what we all need to do as basketball fans and Knick fans is not freak out every time it looks like he got shot. Because the reality is, he's playing this crap up now. I mean, my God, he goes to the locker after collapsing, and then 5 minutes later, I got no limp, let's go. And he's schooling the Pistons for the final 9 minutes of the game. I get to game, Jalen, and I respect it. Because you're sick of the haters. You're sick of the Knick fans that turned on you after game two. So you got to give them this witness readout.
Okay, the revisionist history. Nobody turned on him. They criticized him. That's different than turning their back on
him. He didn't deserve that criticism.
He didn't deserve it.
Thank you.
No, the comparisons to Carmelo Anthony were over the top, but it is fair to criticize a player after a loss in a playoff game if they felt like he didn't share the basketball. This team is better when they're sharing the basketball, and since then they have.
He's not why they lost. He wasn't the reason, and he was blamed for
it. He shared some of the blame from that loss.
And you people were wrong. I don't know how many times I could tell
you
that.
There were people that took it too far, in my opinion,
so
but
wrong.
I don't think he was... No, they just went too far. It doesn't
they
mean
went
you're
too
wrong.
Far.
Okay,
wrong.
They did what Jalen does when he gets hurt. They embellish. Now, my conspiracy theory is that he needs a shot because his ankle's not right, and it's almost like an excuse to go to the locker room.
Well, that's basically what Tiki said, that he's looking for a couple of minutes off, and that's fine. But when you collapse like that, I mean, that was so dramatic.
But
the
problem is you can't get a shot every game. You just can't.
You can't? Like
I mean,
health-wise,
can,
is that not technically?
But you are really hurting yourself if you do. I mean, that's just not smart business. It just isn't. I'm rewatching the shot. Yeah, Tim Hardaway. It's not a foul.
Not a foul. I'll tell you this. If I was in Detroit, and I'm not, so I don't really care, I would be so pissed at Tim Hardaway Jr.
Right.
You have the ball in the corner with a chance at a game-winning three, and instead of taking it, and remember, Tim Hardaway just a few minutes earlier actually made a really big shot inside the arc with under 2 minutes to go that gave the Pistons a four-point lead. It was actually the shot where I thought to myself, wow, they're really going to pull this game off. Because I was very, very skeptical that Detroit would actually beat the Knicks in this game four. The Hardaway jumper was my moment of, huh, maybe they will pull this off. You get an open corner three, and you're foul hunting? Bro!
Oh, he double clutched. I mean,
come on!
Just watch him. He's like double clutching.
Bro!
The reason the foul didn't get called in real time is because he double clutched. If he had just shot it, He just takes the shot, maybe you get the call. But because he pulls it down and then tries to shoot it again, there's no way you can call that because it looks like Josh Hart is greatly defending
you. There is a way you can call it. That's where I would disagree. It's a 50-50 call. If they make that call and Knick fans today were calling up Sports Talk Radio whining about the officials.
This is not a 50-50 call. It just isn't.
No, because it's a foul, but I understand in the way the game was officiated, not calling it, plus the other physicality we saw in that possession. But it is a foul, Teague. It is.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, two things can be true. It was a foul, but I understand why the call wasn't made, and I don't think the Pistons got screwed. I don't think it's egregious, and I think the reaction from J.B. Bickerstaff and Cade Cunningham and even the Pistons social media team, like, I get it. I understand it because you're still working the officials. You're not giving up on this series.
Yeah.
But you didn't get screwed, bro. It was a lot of contact, but it was a foul. It's just understandable why they didn't call it.
Yeah. There's not a foul you can call in that situation.
Oh, no, you can call it.
You can, but you shouldn't.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. And I remember everything you say and everything I say and everything those guys say. You said something a few months ago while we were having a heated discussion about Tom Thibodeau and his minutes, right?
Right.
It's always a discussion around Tom and the Knicks. And you said something along the lines of, this is good for them. Because this gets them ready to play big minutes in the postseason. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
I present...
As long, and the caveat was,
yes.
As long as they stay healthy.
As long as they stay healthy.
Or like OG, and I guess Jalen Brunson to an extent, even though he's still banged up, Josh Hart, Cat, all of them, is it doesn't compromise you for the postseason.
Absolutely. Here is the captain of the New York Knicks, the king of New York, Jalen Brunson, with his opinion on Tom Thibodeau and the minutes.
Just happy Tibbs played me all those minutes at the regular season. Got me in shape for the playoffs.
How about that?
I'm telling you. It's an old school philosophy that every sport coach used to do.
Right.
Nowadays, because of, I don't know, the bitchiness of players. I don't mean them bitching about it. I'm just them being soft. It doesn't happen.
Right.
You need days off. You need rest days. They have trackers. Hell, practice in the NFL these days, you have like a GPS tracker in your pads to know how far you've run. Right? When I think about that, I'm like, are you kidding me? I think the more I ran, the better I felt come game day. But nowadays, they track all of that stuff. And so players are acutely aware, sometimes to their own detriment, when they're working too hard.
Jalen Brunson.
You can't work too hard.
Can't work too hard. Jalen Brunson channeling his inner Tiki Barber.
I love it.
Let's get to your calls. Knicks are up 3-1. They are one win away from the second round, as is the Boston Celtics, who took care of business last night against the Orlando Magic. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Brooklyn. Good afternoon, Ray.
Good afternoon, babies and gentlemen. And in this case, Sean Morash being the baby of the bunch. And Evan, I do commend you for being, you know, an independent basketball observer today. I'm going to choose to like you today.
Thank you.
Because not only are you an honorary Latino, but you're calling it as you see it.
Let's go, Knicks.
Absolutely. Hey, Tiki, let's go Gigantes, which for everybody else is let's go Giants,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, of course, man.
So it's a great day, gentlemen. So listen, before I even get on the style of play, and the reason why the Pistons can only compete with the Knicks is because they wanted it called this way, and now they're crying like biatches, you know, on the final play. Let me just defend Jalen Brunson, right, who, you know, everybody wants to call out for faking injuries or embellishing. And, Evan, I don't have a big issue with this, but what I will say is that Luka Doncic, biggest foul-hunting crybaby, you know what, on the planet,
yeah.
Joel Embiid,
yeah.
LeBron James, Giannis, Damian, on and on and on. These guys are not getting killed nearly as much as Brunson.
Oh, no. They are. And here's the world you're in, Ray. I remember at nauseam for the last year hearing this weird discussion around here. Jalen Brunson.
Around WFAN.
Around WFAN, okay. And Nick fandom in general.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson is a superstar. Jalen Brunson is a superstar. Jalen Brunson is a superstar. And I always counter with, well, how do you define a superstar? He's a really good player, but what's a superstar? This is what happens when you're a superstar. You do get criticized. You don't think LeBron gets criticized?
Of course.
For foul hunting and flopping?
Or failure. Every failure is going to be highly criticized.
That too.
When you're considered a star / superstar.
No doubt. Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't get criticized? Of course they do. So I disagree with that part. Now, Jalen Brunson is a flopper. Jalen Brunson does hunt for fouls. Now, you may take that as a knock. I take it as, hey, you do what you got to do. Now, in the fourth quarter of this game, when he came back as a hero, do you know how many times he got to the free throw line? Anybody want to guess?
Two.
You going with two? You got to guess, Tommy?
Four.
You going to go with four? Sean, you got to guess?
Three.
Zero. The foul-hunting flopper picked it up in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you mean in the fourth.
Saved
I thought
the
you
net.
Meant the game.
No, I meant the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Zero times.
Right.
So he will foul hunt, but it's not his entire game. And that's the criticism that goes too far. Like,
right.
Oh, what is he without free throws? What is he? Do you realize he has scored as many points in this series as Cade Cunningham if you take away the free throws?
I know it. And
so,
think about the fourth quarter you just mentioned. No free throws. He scored 15 points.
So he's not overly reliant on it. He's just become really good at it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And when someone's really good at it, you're better to give them credit for it, like praise, than to criticize them for it. If they're good at it and it helps you win, it is what it is.
And that's all that matters.
Right.
Joe's calling from Brooklyn. How are you, Joe?
Hey, what's going on?
All's good.
What's up?
Yeah, this notion that the refs let plays go, in my opinion, that's when you're driving or you're going for an aggressive rebound where you're going to get hit. That the refs, they should, and they do let plays go sometimes. When you have an outside shot, you're never going to see the refs let it go.
Yeah, you are. You saw it the other night.
That's the problem. And that's why I think it was a foul.
I think when you are hunting it the way Tim Hardaway was hunting it, you're also in the middle of a very physical possession that probably saw a loose ball foul committed.
There definitely was a loose ball by Tobias Harris.
I think it was Tobias Harris versus Josh Hart.
100%.
Forget the whole game. They let the possession go. And so I disagree that more times than not, they're going to call that. I think sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't.
Right.
I think it really is a 50-50 kind of thing.
And it's intense. By the way, the ball's not being like passed out to Tim Hardaway Jr. It's rolling on the ground. Josh Hart is scrambling after it. Tim Hardaway picks it up and then takes a Fugazi shot, and Josh Hart scoots by on his left side, or his right side, Tim Hardaway's right side. And yeah, did he touch him? Sure. But I don't think, again, to me, it's the double clutch that makes it not a foul.
The word I would not use, and it's the word Sean chose to use, is egregious.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't egregious. There was contact.
Contact on a guy as he's shooting the definition of egregious.
Egregious is if he tackled him.
Right. Or hacks his arm.
Yeah. This wasn't egregious. It was side-to-side contact, bro.
Well, then it wouldn't be egregious because they would have called it. It's an egregious missed call.
No, it's not an egregious missed call. See, you're messing with the words
right
here.
No, I'm not.
You're confusing everybody. That's his game.
In that spot, when you guys want to talk about, I'm fine with letting him play. There is no recovering from that moment. If a call is missed 4 minutes earlier and you're like, wow, they're letting him play, you have time to recover. That is the last moment of a game and a shooter is being contact with and it affects the shot. That's egregious that you didn't call that thing.
Because
now you have no chance to recover from said missed call.
It's not about having a chance to recover or not. Egregious is if you look at it and say, oh my God, that is an over-the-top foul. It was not an over-the-top foul. It was letter of the law foul. Like, there was contact, but he didn't get bulldozed.
I mean, everybody outside of our bubble in New York thinks that's an egregious call.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Everybody outside our bubble hates the Knicks.
But that makes me an IBO.
No.
I'm not sitting here in this New York bubble getting sucked into it.
Why am I in the New York bubble then? You think I want the Knicks to win?
You're a Knicks season ticket holder. Of course you do.
Oh, so now I'm actually calling things to favor the Knicks? Well, that would be new. I'm literally calling it because I watch a lot of basketball, and there are times in which they let plays like that go, especially if the game was a physical game. So don't cite to me what they're saying nationally. I don't care. I can only tell you what I think. I know Knicks fans are whiny bitches. It's not about them. I'm going to stand up for them when they're being aggrieved. And right now, if you're saying this is egregious and he got bulldozed, they are being aggrieved with that kind of talk. And I will stand up for them.
Good for you. And you're in the zone. You know how I can tell you're in the zone? You didn't laugh when I called you a Knicks season ticket holder? Man, that's the it.
But I am.
The Evan I knew on Thursday would have laughed.
I am a Knicks season ticket.
I mean, you just called Knicks fans whiny bitches as you were defending them. I see the game that's going on here. I see what just happened there.
There's no game. We're literally talking about it if there was a foul.
You just called the majority of our audience whiny bitches.
Well, some of them are.
No. You said they all are. Just want to clarify that one or no?
Want to
apologize?
They're all whiny bitches.
Okay.
We'll go with that. David's in Panoma. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of the show. You guys are hilarious.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Hey, I'm not a whiny bitch. I'm a huge Knicks fan.
Let me clarify for Tommy. Mostly whiny bitches, except for David and Panoma. He has been exonerated from bitches.
Hey, listen. I don't know. You guys watched. I was watching the highlights. And when Jalen Brunson went down, I lost, trust me. I thought we lost the series right there. But then I saw his dad just walk away. I don't know if you guys could look at those highlights. His dad was standing right there when he went down. They walked away. When you said that earlier, Evan, I was like, holy crap, maybe he is. He was faking it. That's crazy.
It's tough to tell because...
Right, his dad was like, yeah, you're good.
Right. I'll be fine.
Just go get you 2 minutes and come back out.
There are a lot of basketball players, and I think Jalen's certainly one of them. I mentioned Vince Carter used to do this all the time, where he would go down in a heap, and you would think, oh my God, he's hurt. Oh my God, this is really bad. But he would embellish it, and then he would get up, and he'd be completely fine. Wouldn't even miss a possession.
Yeah.
What alarmed me about Brunson was the fact that he got up and then collapsed again. Like, that was horrific. And that's why
That's what made it look like, man, did he tear, like, his ACL?
Right.
Did he break his leg?
And we ended up seeing what happened with Dame Lillard, unfortunately, later in the night, where it is going to be a torn Achilles, I think, for Dame. So you see something like that. Remember Aaron Rodgers. Like, that was the same thing. He got up, and then he sits back down. So I think what we need to now do is just be very skeptical of anything Jalen Brunson does.
Yeah.
He's an embellisher, Teak.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, the only thing that's wrong with it is he's going to give Knicks fans heart attacks.
Because, yeah, but you almost always know he's coming back now.
Well, until he doesn't.
Yeah, true, but it doesn't. It almost feels like it's all good. He'll be back.
There was a game last year. Tommy, tell me if you remember this. It was in Cleveland.
Yep.
It was. I was watching this game at the airport.
It was a Sunday night game against the Cavs where he was in a wheelchair, I believe.
Yes.
Coming off the court.
He went down, and I'm at the airport basically talking to my father-in-law because we're coming back from Florida. I'm like, hey, he's done for the season. I was like, hey, he's done. I'm sorry. And I didn't smile when I said it because I feel bad. I don't want the guy to be done for the year. And you all thought the same thing. Like, he's done, he's done, he's done.
Yeah.
And what did he do? Like, missed like two games?
If that. Felt like he was back for the very next game. And then in the playoffs last year, the game that they compared it to Willis Reed. I mean, it looked like he was done there too.
That's right. I forgot about that.
The wheelchair one was the worst.
So
because that's like the guy's getting carted off, basically.
That's why we all now have to just... We can't play this game anymore.
Yeah.
He's not being fair to the emotions of Knick fans when he does this. And now that we're going through all the different examples, I feel like a schmuck that I was worried about him yesterday.
And we all know that JB is a pro wrestling fan, famously with Halliburton on SmackDown. So he's got a little bit of that in him. So I think I agree. You got to just kind of wait to him to be ruled out before you panic.
Yeah. Or in some cases, celebrate. Not me, but I was getting text messages, Tommy.
Oh, were you?
Yes, very. I'm not going to name names. I got a lot of them.
Celebrating an injury?
Okay, celebrating an injury sounds harsh, so can I freshen up those words?
You could try.
Celebrating the possibility that the captain of the New York Knicks may not be able to play
now,
the rest of the
season. Is this Freddie from Twitter Baseball? Or is this people in the business that are part of the coalition that if this ever got out, it wouldn't be a good look for them?
Listen, I'm not naming names.
Okay.
I just know that there were people who were very excited about the possibilities of that injury, and I was like, boy, that's not the... You don't want that.
No, you don't want to lose... You don't want to win that way if you're a Pistons fan. Maybe you're a Pistons fan.
They don't care.
If you're a Knick hater, do you really want that to happen? You want Jalen... Because now the Knick fan has an excuse. Seriously.
You know what?
If Jalen Brunson is done, compromised, misses an entire game, and they lose, the series, Knicks fans have an excuse.
Yeah, you're saying the Knicks would have lost.
It's the same excuse that they used last year.
Exactly. Well, they would have lost to attrition for the second straight year, right?
That damn attrition, I'll tell you.
It doesn't lose.
I mean, you might end up being the case anyways, but.
You know what I did when Jalen got hurt?
What?
You know what I did?
No.
Do you know what I did, Sean, when Jalen got hurt?
You bet the Knicks.
I bet the crap out of the Knicks. I went on FanDuel. And I moneyline the daylights out of it. And at that point, it was only a 4-point game, okay? When it got to 11, I did it again. Because for whatever reason, and it's not even emotional hedging necessarily, because I don't think I'll do this in the Boston series. I think I just believe in your basketball team. Mm-hmm. You, because you're kind of a Knick fan. Tommy, because you are a Knick fan. I think I believe in your basketball team more than most of their fans. I really do.
And we've seen this movie play out. We just brought it up. Brunson goes to the locker room.
Yeah.
Puts the cape on, comes back, and they win the game. We've seen this play out a few times now in the playoffs and in the regular season.
Plus, I know you're not going to want to admit this, and we shouldn't say anything until they close out Game 5. The series is going exactly the way I predicted it.
It is.
I've nailed it to a T so far.
Lose one at home, then win in 5.
Knick fans will freak out. I called that part. We'll replay the clip, don't worry, in 2 days once this is completely official. But obviously, the Knicks still need one more win.
A clip you're replaying?
Well, the whole conversation on my prediction for this series.
Oh, yeah. I got you. I thought you had some type of other thing that you had, a montage of Knick fans complaining or something.
I didn't do that this time.
A la the Mets last year.
Yeah, you know what? I should have done that, but I didn't do that.
I thought you'd have Sean there cooking something up like that.
Wait, you're right. I told Sean to do that a month ago. Did you ever do that?
I don't remember.
Did you ever cut clips of Knick fans giving up on the team so that we could make fun of them after they win?
You know, I'm going to go with a no.
Wow. Damn, we got a crack staff here. We're all over it.
You're the worst, man.
I am?
Yeah, you are. We did it for the Mets. We didn't do it for the Knicks. I even said it to you. I'll find the audio clip of me telling you on air, hey, remember to pull those Gio and BT and Sal and Big Mac clips?
No, you said it. You said that.
I did say that.
I was wrong.
Maybe I did it. I don't
know. I was wrong.
Let's go to Jay in New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I called last month begging for Jameis Winston to be the Giants quarterback, but I'm a basketball referee, and I'm going to give you two reasons why it is not a foul.
Go ahead.
Okay, first we'll look at it from the defensive point of view. Josh Hart is a defender. He is in legal defensive position, and he jumps straight up. We call that verticality.
Yep.
He does not lean in toward the player. He also does not swing his arms. He is straight up. When I referee, I have a signal. I have my hand by my face, I lift it straight toward over my shoulder to show its verticality. Now, take it from the offensive player.
Right. By the way, Jay, he also taps the ball. You know what I mean? So he reaches over and taps the ball vertical.
Yes.
Right? No contact with the arm, just taps the ball, and that's what causes Tim Hardaway to double clutch.
Exactly. And looking at Hardaway now, he initiates the contact.
He does.
As a referee, you always want to see who initiated the contact. Josh Hart jumps straight up, verticality. Hardaway initiated the contact. It is not a foul.
Then why did the pool reporter ask the officials and they turned and backed away? Like, think about this. This is prior to a two-minute report. The officials from yesterday's game, within a half hour of it ending, decided to die on the sword and say, we missed it.
Yeah.
And so I just watched the replay again as our last caller was describing it. He's right, by the way, about Tim Hardaway Jr. initiating contact, which is why I'm telling you right now, if I'm in Detroit, if I'm a Piston fan.
Yeah, you're mad at him.
I would be more pissed at him than I would be the officials.
Right.
Now, I think that if you watch basketball enough, you know they call that half the time.
They do, but the challenge is, like, this ball, Tobias Harris actually does a pretty good job because when the ball is loose underneath the basket, he basically just punches it to the corner. And so it's rolling on the ground. But Tim Hardaway now has to bend and pick it up. Mm. It's not like it's getting to him right in the catch zone where he can just raise up and shoot the three-pointer. He's got to pull it from down by his ankles, get vertical, and then Josh Hart's hand is right there. It taps it, so he has to double clutch it. And he, at the same time, he's leaning into Josh Hart. So, I mean, it's complex. So he deserves some of the blame because he did seek the contact, but that's a hard shot to just take after the ball is rolling to you on the ground and you have less than a second to shoot it.
I am curious for this two-minute report because I would love to see if the two-minute report corrects the officials correcting their mistake, which it's not going to do. Like, the two-minute report is going to say that they should have called a foul. What I'm curious about is all the other things that they didn't call on that final possession. Now, the Tobias Harris being out of bounds thing, it's an unchallengeable thing because the play is live in action.
Right.
And by the way, speaking of challengeable, and I apologize that it took me 46 minutes to bring this up. This is my bad. Again, how about if you're JB Bickerstaff, you don't bust your challenge load 5 minutes into the game.
On something that didn't matter.
On an out-of-bounds call 5 minutes in.
Right.
Like, you knew if I could have made a bet on, hey, will there be a situation in which JB Bickerstaff desperately needs his challenge and he just wasted 5 minutes in the game? Mm-hmm. I would have won a fortune.
Of course.
That was asinine. That's losing stuff. You got to be smart about that. So, it boggled. There was so much that led to this. And oh, by the way, the Pistons blew an 11-point lead and the Knicks rally back.
Right.
Oh, by the way, they made a lot of big shots in the final few minutes. There's also one guy who's not getting enough love for the Knicks victory. I'll tell you who that is in 5 minutes. Let's go to Barry in Edgewater. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
So Evan, yeah. I've been watching the Knicks longer than you are walking the planet. Okay.
That's a lot of bad basketball you've seen, sir.
And in fact, we had to rent a hotel back for the 70s series so we could watch it on cable.
Yeah, they used to black it out, Tiki. Isn't that insane?
That is nuts.
Insanity.
That's because for the TV deals were what they are now.
Yeah, different world. All right, so you've watched a lot of basketball. What you got?
All right. So everybody's complaining, and all of us are geniuses because we can see the replay. But the ref's got a very difficult job.
Of course.
That's it. I have two questions for you. What is marginal contact, and how does it differentiate from egregious contact?
So
that's number one.
The way I would define it, and this is my answer, and I'm not an NBA referee, is what you saw on that play is marginal contact.
Yes.
They make contact with each other, but it is not his hands crushing the face of the shooter
or
ripping the arm of the shooter.
Right. That's more what you see when fouls get called.
That would be the way Sean described an egregious non-call. But what this was, and we could actually, we're not on TV today. The Mets have an afternoon game. We could actually simulate it if you'd like. Tiki, if you want to stand up for a second.
Yes.
I'm going to be, who wants to do play-by-play, Tommy or Sean?
I'll do play-by-play, Sean. You'll do the analyzer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Here we go.
Tiki's going to be Tim Hardaway. and I'm going to be Josh Hart, okay? I'm putting my headphones down. You guys
take
over. Here we go.
In Detroit, 8 seconds to go here.
Stand over here.
Tiki Barber gets out for the shot here. And it is not a foul.
Oh, that's egregious. What
no,
a no
game
call.
Over. They ate the whistle on that one.
Now, what did you see?
What I see, I saw contact as the shooter tried to put the ball in the air, even as he clutched. That is an egregious knock.
No, it wasn't. The contact was my body, my left side, meeting his right side. I didn't hit the ball. I didn't hit his head. I didn't hit his arm. And that, to me, would be marginal contact. There was contact.
Nothing that really would have disrupted the shot unless you were trying to make contact as opposed to shooting the shot. And that's what it was.
That's the difference. So have we seen this call before? Absolutely. But it was not some kind of egregious, he run him over with a Mack truck.
I think Josh got away with it because he intentionally went to the side of him. So I think he didn't go in front of him. He went to the side of him, tapped the top of the ball, caused him a double clutch. And yes, there was contact, but it was so minimal that you can't call that a foul. I understand why people saying it is a foul, but you can't call that a foul in that moment.
See, this is where there are scales here. I disagree with that. I think you can call it.
You can't.
But it's marginal contact. It's not game altering. It's not, let's review it for a flagrant two. Mm. Like, it was marginal contact.
And by the way, Josh is moving away from Tim Hardaway.
And Tim Hardaway is trying to stick his body into him.
When you really watch it, Josh starts it close to him, and then as the shot is continuing, he's moving away from Tim Hardaway.
I'll tell you a guy that deserves a lot of credit for the Knick comeback victory, and it may surprise you. Coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019, and we examine what the hell happened to Shedeur Sanders on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.